Would you take your Bible with me, please, this morning? Let's turn together, if you would, to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Beginning next week, we'll pick up our study of the Gospel of John. But as we come to our service today, we recognize that today marks the final services that we will have together in 2018. For 52 weeks, we have gathered together for worship, fellowship, and the study of God's Word. We have had the opportunity to sit through a minimum of 153 sermons. We've also had opportunities through our community groups to dig deeper into God's Word and into the truths that are taught us. Each one of us has the wonderful blessing and the privilege to possess the whole counsel of God in His written word, the Bible. We are capable and able to read it, to memorize it, and to meditate upon it. On top of all of those blessings, our culture affords us a saturated market of study materials, online sermons, and the like. The question for us is simply this: do you and I value the Scripture in our present day? Do we take advantage of all those opportunities, or have we allowed them to slip through our fingers, having not redeemed well our time? This past week, I was flipping through a copy of a book that we have in our home. It's a collection of old Puritan writings. It's compiled in a book entitled The Valley of Vision. In this book, I came across the following prayer that's entitled A Minister's Bible. I want you to listen as I read the prayer to you this morning, and I trust that the Spirit of God would cause us to reflect on the very blessings that we have afforded to us today because of the Word of God. The prayer begins, O God of truth, I thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures, their precepts, promises, directions, light. In them may I learn more of Christ, being able to retain His truth and have grace to follow it. Help me to lift up the gates of my soul, that He may come in and show me Himself when I search the Scriptures. For I have no lines to fathom its depths, no wings to soar to its heights. By His aid, may I be enabled to explore all its truths, love them with all of my heart, embrace them with all my power, and graft them into my life. Bless to my soul all grains of truth garnered from Thy Word. May they take deep root, be refreshed by heavenly dew, be ripened by heavenly rays, be harvested to my joy and Thy praise. Help me to gain profit by what I read, as treasure beyond all treasure, a fountain which can replenish my dry heart, its waters flowing through me as a perennial river on drawn by the Holy Spirit. Enable me to distill from its pages faithful prayer that grasps the arm of Thine omnipotence, achieves wonders, obtains blessing, and draws down streams of mercy. From it show me how my words have often been unfaithful to Thee, injurious to my fellow men, empty of grace, full of folly, dishonoring to my calling. Then write Thine own words upon mine heart, and ascribe them on my lips. So shall all glory be to Thee in my reading of Thy Word. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we come before You now in prayer, we ask and pray today that as we look at the Word of God, as we come to 2 Peter 1, that Father, You would help us to see evidence found within Thy Word that demands our faithfulness to You and our faithfulness to Thy truth. And Lord, we thank Thee for the blessing of the Word of God. So Lord, we ask and pray that you would use the scripture today to speak to our hearts and cause our hearts to be drawn unto him. And for that, Father, we give you thanks. So we commit our time unto you, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we come to 2 Peter chapter 1, we do so under the heading, Evidence That Demands Our Faithfulness. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It had been Peter's privilege to unlock the glorious truth of the gospel message to the Jews first, as was recorded in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and then later to the Gentiles, as it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 10. Time has now passed, and Peter now knows that his time on this earth is soon coming to a close. But he had a great concern for the people of God and a desire that they would carry on the very burden that he had been carrying for these many years, and that being the propagation of the gospel message. Peter, in his first letter, would write to believers who were scattered abroad, seeking to encourage them who were suffering from persecution at the hands of religious leaders and government officials. In this second letter, he seeks to help the church fight off the onslaught of false teachers that are bringing now perversion into the church of Christ. And what Peter's desire is and what he longs for is that the church would remain steadfast in her faith, that there be no falling away. In this letter, we find his final words of exhortation. They come really from the perspective of a loving father and one who has taken a bold stance as a fierce fighter of God's truth. So again, as we come to 2 Peter 1 this morning, we see this evidence that demands a verdict. And we have chosen this title because as we come to the passage this morning, we are really entering into the scene of a courtroom. False teachers have found their way into the early church. They are seeking to distort the very precious truths of God's word. They desire to lead others in a way that would cause their own destruction. And Peter here really acts as a prosecuting attorney, seeking to present the evidence that will cause you and I, the church of Christ, to remain faithful to the propagation of God's truth, the gospel, to remain true to the word of God as it's given to us. So Peter here lays out a case for all of us to consider. And folks, I think this is a message that is beneficial for us as we look forward to a new year. We have come through a year where we have had every opportunity afforded to us to read and study the Word of God, to sit under the sound of His Word as it's preached and it's proclaimed through multiple services throughout our weeks, week after week after week as a church. And folks, the reality is, as we go through a process such as this, it's easy for us to allow the blessing and the privilege and the joy and blessing that should be within our heart week after week to simply become a matter of routine. And when that happens, we allow the truths of God's word to slip from our minds, and we open ourselves up to a position that even false teaching and truths can begin to filter its way in. And folks, all around us, that truth is being presented to us on a day-by-day basis by the vain philosophies of this world. And you and I need to be ever aware and ever alert to that reality, that we would receive the evidence and then be faithful to our God. We have been given a wonderful blessing that we have before us the written word of God, that we might read it, that we might study it, that we might memorize it, that we might meditate upon it, that it would change the way that we think, the way that we live, that it would construct the way our families operate, that it would cause us to consider the way in which we worship our Savior week after week after week. And yet the challenge for the church is that we not let the truth slip, that we would remain faithful. So Peter writes to share this evidence with us, to help us continue on and be faithful to the Lord. We're going to pick up our study beginning in verse 12. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading there this morning. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Peter writes and says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from that excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice came, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." As Peter writes, in order to present this evidence that would demand the church to remain faithful, he begins in verse 12 by sharing this thought with them, that there is the importance of reviewing our doctrine. As you and I go through the process week after week and month after month through the study of God's Word, whether that be through our services in the mornings or the evenings, whether that be through those times that we dig deeper into God's Word through our community groups, whether that's on our Wednesday night prayer times where we study God's Word together, whether that's in our private devotions or our family times in God's Word, the reality is, Peter says, there is an important step or process in our study, and that is the review of Bible doctrine. As Peter puts pen to paper, he is keenly aware, like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, that his time on the earth was soon to come to an end. As Peter considers his departure, his heart was stirred to call the people of God to remembrance. The trials of the past and the teaching of the present had grounded them and settled them in this truth. But Peter was well aware that the subtlety of the false teachers would cause some to have their moorings loosened and that some would drift because of doubt. So Peter writes and says, "Wherefore I am not negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Peter says, "I refuse to not cause our hearts to be reminded of. I refuse to not allow us to review regularly the truth of God's word. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of the truth." He understood, according to verse 13, that it was meet, or that it was the right thing for them to be reminded as the believers of the precious truth of the gospel. Peter says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Folks, we live in a day and age where the truth of God's word is still under attack, as it was in Peter's day. False teachers are distorting doctrine and are offering to mankind their own devised fables. We mentioned that within our culture, we have the blessing of a saturated market of material that can help us and aid us in the study of God's word. We can go on to the internet and we can listen to sermons of not only men in our present day, but we can go back and listen to sermons that were preached by men who have since passed from this scene. We have a saturated market on the truth, so to speak. But folks, the problem is some of those men who are heavily saturating our market are not producing truth. They're promoting error. And so Peter says that it's important for me to put you always in remembrance. So Peter really states that there are two things that are necessary and why we must review these doctrines. He says, first of all, we review and we give these reminders because the reminders of truth keep us settled in that truth. One commentator made a very good observation with regards to the memory of mankind. Here's what he said. Memory is capricious. We remember a hurt, but we forget a favor. So he concludes, preachers and churches may seem to be saying the same old things repeatedly, but there is no other way to keep the Christian faith alive. Folks, it is a wonderful blessing that we have to be reminded of the truth. It is a wonderful blessing if it's your habit to regularly read God's word and read that passage over and over again. Why? Because the reminding of that truth keeps me settled or grounded in that truth. We should never grow weary of our daily and weekly opportunities to enter into the study of God's word. That study of God's word has a wonderful settling effect upon our hearts. Yet, folks, we live in a world today where people say, I don't need as much time at church. I don't need to sit under the sound of preaching so much. In fact, we have complete denominations that want to get rid of the preaching of God's word. Why do we hold to that still here at Cornerstone Baptist Church? Why do we continue to have a morning service and an evening service? Why do we still preach and teach God's word on Wednesday nights as part of our prayer meeting? Why do we offer opportunities at different times for different Bible studies? Why have we developed our community groups to dig deeper into God's word? Because we need the truth. Because our tendency is to stray. Our tendency is to wander. Our memory is capricious. Our memory is really something that doesn't help us along the way. Many times it hurts us. We remember a lie far better than we remember the truth. We are quick to forget the good things of God's word. But how often we remember the bad things and the lies we are told. I want you to think about this in human nature for a moment. Which is easier for you to remember? Gossip, a lie, or the truth? And folks, the answer is gossip and the lie. Here's how I know that. Someone will come and someone will share the gossip with us. We'll hear the lie. We'll hear the story. And then someone who knows the truth comes to us and says, you know what, you've got that all wrong, and I need to set that right. And in your mind, we first of all think, yeah, right. And what we can remember are all the details of that lie. And yet the truth is hard for us to believe. Folks, do you realize that within our world today, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how many sermons you've sat through. By the way, it doesn't matter how many sermons you have preached. The reality is, it is easier for us in our human nature to believe that which is presented by a false teacher than it is by a true preacher of God's word. That's why I say to you often when I pick up a book and I read it, I always read it with a highlighter and a pen. The highlighter is to put out and mark off that which is good, and the pen is to scribble out all the junk that is in there. Because, folks, the reality is, if my mind is not sharp and my mind is not engaged, it is easy for me to buy into the false philosophies of this world. And, folks, we see that over and over again within our culture. You can grow up in the truth. You can be taught the truth. You can hear the word of God preached and proclaimed for 20, 30, 40 years. And yet still, those very people that have grown up within the church struggle to accept the truths of God's word as they've been presented, because they get presented a lie, and that seems so much easier to believe. So here's what Peter says. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance. Why? Because the reminder of the truth keeps me settled in that truth. But verse 13 tells me that the reminders of the truth, there we go, the reminder of that truth or doctrine keeps us strong to live for the Lord. Verse 13, he says, that I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. How? By putting you into remembrance. That word, stir up, means to awaken or to be aroused. And Peter sought to remind them of the truth that they would, first of all, that they would be awakened to it, that they would live as they first lived. He wants to remind them of that early time in which they received the word of God. He wants to stir that back up. Why? Because it's easy for us to forget our first love. It's easy for us to become sluggish in our service for Christ. It's easy for us to think that we know what we need to know and that we're okay. But Peter knew the importance of these regular reminders so that the believer might be stirred up in their service of the Lord. Consider with me for just a few moments some of the wonderful truths for which we need to be regularly reminded. And by the way, we're reminded of these truths through our music ministry. We're reminded of these truths through the preaching of God's word. Our children are reminded of those in our Sunday school. Our children are reminded of that through Kids for Truth on Wednesday night. By the way, parents, if your kids aren't there, they should be. You ought to think about it for the new year. Our teens get that in their 412 and the opportunities that they have on a weekly basis. And if your teens aren't there, you ought to consider making that a priority in 2019. Why? That they would be stirred up in the truth and in their service of the Lord. Just think about those things which we are reminded of on a regular basis. We're reminded that in eternity past, the Lord Jesus decided that he would leave the glory of heaven, come to this earth and take on the form of the servant. He would take on the form of man and become our substitute. By the way, is that not the reminder of Christmas Day? We're reminded that he then died for us because he loved us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We're reminded of the fact that he knows us. If you were here with us on Wednesday nights, Pastor Caleb did a short study on Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, these wonderful truths, David would have to say, his knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot obtain unto it. Marvelous is the knowledge of our God, who knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frames, that we are but dust, and he ministers to our every need. And he does so as our great high priest, who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. How wonderful a truth that it is to consider that when a man trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, the Bible says that that man becomes justified. To be declared righteous, no longer guilty under the law. Now he is free. He now has the right to live in liberty in Christ. Any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are forgiven, fully accepted of Christ. Consider this thought with me, that while we gather here today, as we sit under the sound of his word, Jesus Christ, who has gone back to glory, is preparing a place for us. And because he is preparing a place for us, the Bible says that he is going to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we can be there also. And the wonderful blessing is we know how to get there through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, these are just some of the truths that we need to be regularly reminded of. And Peter says, I do that that you might be stirred up, that you would continue in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an importance that we review truth or doctrine, that we be reminded of it regularly. Let us never grow weary of that. We ought never grow weary of the opportunity to sit under the sound of God's word. Again, folks, on a regular basis, year after year, three services a week, 52 weeks out of the year, that's 153 sermons. You get to listen to, and I get to preach the vast majority of. It's our privilege. It's a blessing. That's not counting the times that we get individually to study God's word. That doesn't count the times that we have with our family as parents talking with our children while we sit down and when they rise up. That's not even factoring in yet the community groups, and I hope that you'll stay today and join us for that. A time to go further and deeper into God's word. We ought never tire of that. We ought never think we've had enough. This year I turned 46 years of age. I can't do the math in my head real quick because I'm not that good. I ought to ask my math major to come up with that one. 46 years, 52 weeks, 153 sermons is the minimum amount that I've heard, because since I was 2 weeks old, I've been in church. And there's been very few weeks that I've missed. That doesn't include the chapels in Bible college, the chapels in my Christian school, and all the Bible class time and instruction that I've been given. And folks, consider this. The Word of God is still fresh and still alive for all of us. And some of you have known that privilege longer than me. I celebrated my 46th birthday and my 40th spiritual birthday this year. I'm getting kind of old both ways. But folks, what a blessing and joy it is still week after week to be able to sit under the sound of God's word. And Peter says, we need the regular reminder. Let us never grow tired of his truth. From that, Peter now shares the importance of you and I remaining faithful. Here's what he says in verse 14. Knowing that I shortly must put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. In verse 14, Peter shares the fact that he knows that he is soon to depart from this world. He understands that soon the church and the people that he loved will be put into a period of transition. The early church leaders have been and would continue to pass from the scene. Their time on the earth was coming to an end. Yet Peter recognized with this transition in the early church, with those apostles that are now passing from the scene, these who were called by Christ to be the foundation of this new body, the church, this building of God. Peter understood that in that time of transition, there was a danger that was there, for there were wolves seeking to come and find their way within to the fold, that they would destroy the sheep. That's the whole purpose for Peter's writing of this epistle. False teachers were coming in, and Peter says, yet I know I am soon to depart. So in verse 15, he reveals his heart to them and says that he longed to have these things put into written form so that they would have it after his decease. Every generation has to face afresh and anew the problem of departures. Jess, can you advance that next one for me? There we go. One more time. All right. There is a reality of departures that we have. Everyone has to face it, and every generation has to face it afresh and anew. Men will come and go in and out of the church. Leaders come and go within and out the church. Things will not always be the same. But Peter says, I long to put you in remembrance that even when we go through these times of transition, you have the truth. Think about, folks, if you've been with me here for the last 4 years, how many changes we've seen. How many people have come? How many have gone? How many new are coming in? Church goes through transitions all the time. And yet through those times of transition, what Peter said my heart is that you would have these things and keep them in your remembrance. Things change, but God always stays the same. Now, lest someone misunderstand what I'm saying, this is not a message leading up to my resignation. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to set some folks at ease. Sometimes I go on vacation and people say, I think pastor's leaving. I'm not going anywhere. Okay, we're settled. Folks, here's what I want you to understand. Our church will continually go through transitions over the years. But our God always stays the same. And he has to stay the focus of everything that we do. And Peter says, I am putting all of you in remembrance because I recognize change happens. But the truth remains the same. And folks, with the reality of departures, there is the responsibility for those left behind to still carry on. Peter wanted the church to come to grips with that truth, and they must continue. So he says, I endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Peter's desire was that the people of God would be faithful even after his departure. And so ought we desire to be faithful no matter what changes take place within our lives. By the way, can I remind you what Peter knew this morning? Peter says in verse 14 that he knew he was soon to die as Jesus Christ had showed him. Folks, that takes us back to the Gospels, and here's what the Gospels tell him. Jesus told Peter exactly how he would die and that someone would carry him off to a place that he would die. Peter knew he was to be crucified. Here's the wonderful blessing. Even with that knowledge through the years, Peter never changed his message. He never sought to avoid what he knew was to come. And I think what Peter also wants the church to be reminded of is this thought. It's easy for members to times get their minds or eyes fixed upon a man. And Peter says, I'm leaving. I don't want your eyes fixed upon me. They need to be fixed upon God and Him alone. And folks, the truth is, you and I ought never to trust in a man. We ought always to trust in the Lord. Men will fail you. If I haven't yet, I will. It's the nature of things. Our leadership will fail you as a member of the church. Our deacons will fail you. Sunday school teachers will fail. Youth leaders will fail. The reality is men will fail us, but our trust is in the Lord. For He and His Word never fails. So what Peter is saying is, determine to remain faithful. I have put you in remembrance of the truth, therefore be faithful to that truth. And folks, you have been entrusted with truth. And God would have you and I this year be faithful to that truth. As Peter continues on, he speaks of the importance of remembering that time with Christ. This is what he says in verse 16. As he desires them to remember the truth, Peter says, for we have now followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from that excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As Peter continues to present his case for the gospel, he reminds the people of God to remember their times with Christ. What is it that would keep Peter faithful through all the hardships? What allowed him to remain calm in reference to his departure from this world, knowing that he was to be crucified? What prevented him from becoming a false teacher himself, succumbing to the false doctrines that were pervading the church? Here's the clear answer, folks. Peter said, I remember the day I saw Him in all His majesty. I was an eyewitness to His majesty. I heard the voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter knew he was not following or causing others to follow fairy tales and fables. He had walked with Christ. He had seen the miracles. He saw firsthand the power and the majesty of God Almighty. Peter was there at the empty tomb. He saw the Lord return to glory. He heard directly from God the Father that this one, Jesus, is His only beloved Son. He was eyewitness to the majesty of Christ. Christian, what's going to help you avoid the snares of the false teaching that pervades our society today? What will help you in the midst of your hardships to remain faithful unto Him? Peter says the answer is to remember your Lord. Remember your time with Him. You say, Pastor, I didn't have the same privileges that Peter had. You sure about that? Have you not seen his power? Have you not seen the majesty of God? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no voice nor language where he is not known and heard. You've seen the majesty of God. You've seen the power of God. Have you not witnessed the change in heart that's received at Calvary? Have you not seen the change in a life who comes to Christ? That one who becomes that new creature? Have you not felt the comfort of the Holy Ghost in the days of adversity as you come to his word and there you find the Savior? Have you not witnessed such events within your own heart and life? Have you not received or witnessed the miracle of answered prayer? If so, remember that time with him. What keeps us faithful? What keeps us focused? Peter says, I remember the day I saw him in all of his glory. I remember beholding the miracles. I remember seeing him in his love and compassion for those who were lost. I saw him heal the sick. I was an eyewitness to all that he did. I remember him. I think of him. I see him. I reflect upon him. And I come back to his word. It keeps me faithful. As you and I continue out throughout this year, no matter what we might face, no matter what hardships might come, whatever blessings might be showered upon us, may we not forget to remember Christ. And folks, with those answers of prayer, with the eyewitnesses of his majesty and power that you see, be sure to note it, because the memory is capricious. We remember hardships and quickly forget the blessings. That's why the songwriter wrote, and we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. One final thought that Peter gives to the people as he prepares to depart, as he desires for them to be faithful, and that is this, that there should be a desire, Jess, can you go back one? To trust in his written word. Look at what he says, if you would, in verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. The Mount of Transfiguration is to what Peter is making reference to. That day in which he, James and John, saw the Lord in all of his glory there with Moses and Elijah on that mount. Peter has declared to be an eyewitness to all the works of Christ. Now look what he says in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Folks, what's he saying? Peter says, you can trust what I'm saying. I've been putting you in remembrance to the truth of God's word. I'm calling you to be faithful. Based on the fact I'm an eyewitness to the life of Jesus Christ. But you have even a more sure word of prophecy. What is that? Peter says, whereunto we do well that we take heed, for unto, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and that the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here's Peter's final point in his compelling case. Although he was an eyewitness to the life and ministry of Christ, you and I have a more sure word as we trust the witness of his word. It is given to us by God and preserved for every generation. It is a truth that cannot be altered. We have a more sure word of prophecy the Word of God. Folks, isn't it a blessing to know and consider that we have the Word of God that shines in the darkness, showing us the way, protecting us from the dangers that lurk? As you and I cling to the Word of God this year, it can be our delight, it can be our joy. It will bring us peace, it will bring us comfort. And as we allow it to do its work and our hearts remain pliable to the work of the Spirit of God, the Word of God can conform us to the will of God and to the life of Jesus Christ. How much do we value His Word? How much will we value it in the year to come? Or do we think within our minds, I've received all that I can learn? Sometimes I've heard it said of folks, well, if they go off to school, if they get another degree, they really can't be taught anything new. You know, that's not true of any believer. There are still things for you and I to learn. There are things for which you and I need to be reminded of often because we forget very quickly. We ought never lose sight of the value and the blessing of the Word of God. 1 year's come to a close. 153 sermons have been preached and proclaimed. Another 153 are coming. And maybe even more. Some of you go, ugh, really? We ought to go, all right. Right? There's 365 days that sit before you to read God's Word. To allow that truth to be brought to your mind's eye. There's opportunity for you to share that word with a world who needs to hear. How much will we value God's word? Now, folks, this isn't a ploy to get you to come to church more often. It's not trying to sell you a certain system of Bible reading. Peter writes because he knew we needed to be reminded of the truth and be reminded about God's word and its value. And I trust that you recognize today that the Word of God is one of the greatest gifts that you and I have ever been given. And yet, for many of us, that gift goes unwrapped throughout the year. For many of us, the opportunities that we could have, we let pass by because we have deemed other things to be more valuable than the Word of God and our time with Christ. Folks, that's folly. It's the lie of the devil. And so as we close out 1 year and prepare for the beginning of a new year, the truth has been presented. The case is fairly compelling that God's word is of great value for you, for me, and our families. The question is, and the decision that we have to make is, how much worth will we place in God's word? How much will we consider it a blessing? Or how many of those opportunities will we simply let slide away? Peter writes and says that his time was soon to leave this earth, but oh, his heart's desire was that they would always be put in remembrance. Oh, that we would be ever mindful and always put in remembrance of the truth. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for the privilege to be reminded of the wonderful blessing and the truths as they are found within the Word of God. And Lord, we ask and pray that we today would value your word, that we would declare our value through the way that we live, through the time that we give to the reading, to the time that we give to the exhortations, to the time that we give to memorizing and meditating upon your truth, that we would allow that truth to impact the way that we live. Lord, we know that it's your word that keeps us from sin. It's your word that's a light to our path. It's your word that guides us in the way that we should go. It's your word that reveals to us your person, your character. So help us, Lord, to value your truth and give ourselves to that truth this year. For it is a word that can be trusted. It is of great value to every heart and every life. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for the time that we've had. In Jesus' name, amen.